Lovely man. Lovely man. He residing in Newcastle. He'd tell you all about him himself. And yeah, his name is Ian C. And yeah, just one of them people that you get to meet and you're like, fuck, I hope he comes back to us now. And I'm glad he does. And he's here today to share his story with us. So Ian, take as long as you need, my friend. And yeah, pleasure to know you, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the introduction. That's really lovely. It's a pleasure to be asked to share it, Tusnua. This is the first time I've been asked to share it, Tusnua. I want to thank Tusnua for enhancing my sobriety and development. It's really helped me kind of grow in the last year, 2 years. I don't know, since the pandemic, seem I've kind of lost track of years. Anyway, my name's Ian. I'm originally from Scotland. I live in Newcastle. I'm an alcoholic and I'm an addict. I was sober for about 8 years, and then I relapsed about 2.5 years ago, and I'm sober today, and I haven't relapsed since. I haven't really prepared anything. Like, I thought I would just open my mouth and see what came out. I'm also trying to work on my speaking and sort of lack of that pausing. So I'm going to try and talk as kind of coherently as possible so that you can all kind of follow me. Oh fuck, see, I fucked that up already. Anyway, so yeah, just sit back and get comfortable. So I suppose for me, I got into alcohol through drugs. Specifically, hash, and I was quite young, and it really fried my brain. And then, kind of through the hash, that led on to taking sort of pills and speed and acid and all sorts. And I remember one day sitting in the pub after a particular night out, and I remember having a, it was the second pint, and the second pint hit us, and it was just like all the fear and terror from the come down of all these drugs just left us on that second pint. And I remember looking at that pint and just thinking, that's the answer. That's the answer right there. That's the solution to quieting down what my head is going through. So it then went on to become the answer to a lot of things. I had a good ride with it. Looking back in a selfish way, I had a great time. But the result of that was, I was an extremely selfish person and didn't give a shit about anybody but myself. Didn't give a shit about my sisters, my mum, my dad, my aunts, my cousins. I didn't give a shit about anybody. Just sort of gave a shit about where my next pint was coming from. And yeah. Where I grew up in Scotland, a wee village, and it's a working class village. It's a former mill town, and I'm a musician and an artist, and none of my friends who I grew up with in that village were. They were all tradesmen and or we're going off to work in the oil industry. And I didn't really fit in, you know. I always wanted to go to art school, but art school was for wanks. Deep down inside, I wanted to go to art school. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there's me sort of stuck in this sort of group of friends, and feeling a bit different. When the reality of it is, if I'd probably gone to art school, they would have supported us. I guess what I'm alluding to is fear and approval were the things that controlled my kind of formative years. And I was just oblivious to it. So, I mean, even taking drink out the equation, the validation I needed from people, and the approval I needed from people were so important to me, and I placed so much emphasis on them that it stopped me from doing the things that I really wanted to, you know. I could quote a Smiths song there, but I hate the Smiths. no offense to anyone who likes the Smiths. I got into AA once my daughter was born. That was a pivotal moment in my life, and looking back, I don't know whether I got into AA because of her or because I wanted to get sober. I managed to remain sober for 8 years. And I did the steps with a sponsor. but for a long time, throughout those 8 years, I was always finding myself questioning, you know, why am I this way? Why am I an alcoholic? I was sort of searching for a reason. I moved around a lot as a child. I was bullied a bit, you know, could blame the drugs. Got a history of depression in the family and mental illness. But what I've kind of come to realize this time around is, the answer to that question, it doesn't matter. It's not going to improve my life in any way. And there, I guess I'm alluding to just acceptance. You know, this is who I am. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. And there probably are, you know, reasons for it. But, you know, I don't have all the time in the world to do a PhD on it, you know, and figure it out. You know what I mean? I'm sure there are psychological things that, you know, could tell me why, but it doesn't matter, you know, to me anyway. I'm an addict, and that's the end of the story. I want to talk about how I got better and what went wrong the first time. So I think the first time was the acceptance thing. Do you know that inability to really accept, you know, I am powerless, not just over alcohol, but people. you know, I'm powerless over almost everything. And it took me 8 years to figure that out. It really did. I'm a bit of a slow learner. But yeah, in the meeting the other day on Tusnua, we're talking about the steps. And after my relapse, the step work we did, I found it so useful. And I mean, if you haven't done the steps and you're happy and content and sober, then fair play to you. But I needed to do some work on myself, and I needed to do some digging into myself to figure out who I was and what was kind of flawed within me, and developing awareness of that. And through working the steps, I got that. I think the first time around, I did do the steps honestly as I could back then. But then on reflection, you know, I'm a different person now. And maybe I was holding certain things back. I don't know. But this is going to sound weird, but maybe that relapse was one of the best things that ever happened to us. Do you know? It kind of shook the tree and gave me a big wake-up call. I wouldn't advise anyone to go and do... it wasn't alcohol I relapsed with. It was it was ketamine. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. It's time for a wee freshen up and I'll go and do some ketamine and work the steps again. Please don't do that. I don't know. I'd recommend, why not having a look through the steps again, you know, or talking to your sponsor about it or whatever. But this time around, I think it's because I was older as well. It gave me a deeper insight into the principles behind the steps and the rationale for the steps. And, you know, just discovering that constant need for validation and approval, and people pleasing, and just how low my self-esteem actually was, you know, and how everything that I presented to the exterior world was a fucking act, you know. It was an act. It wasn't really me. Yeah, I mean, and then looking back into my formative years, you know, and thinking, I remember thinking of resentments are good because they kind of fuel you, you know, like, and I'm pretty sure quite a lot of businessmen have got successful out of resentments and that. But I used to think, like, playing football, I was a resentful footballer, but I wasn't resentful. I was just extremely vindictive. Like, I'd remember you, and I'd get you. Do you know what I mean? That's not like, it's not really the same thing. I'd remember your face and I'd remember your number. I'd kick you back twice as hard as you kicked me. And that, but I got that messed up in my head. I was like, I didn't fully know what a resentment was. But anyway, doing the steps again, has helped me so much. Tuning into Tusnua, AA Agnostica, various things on YouTube, various things online, but Tusnua in particular has really brought my current level of sobriety to a different place. I'm not going to say a higher level, just a different place. Like, I kind of look at it like an evolution. The evolution of Ian. Do you know what I mean? Like, 10 years ago, Ian was a fucking savage. Do you know what I mean? And I think now maybe I'm sort of in the era of the Sumerians. That makes any sense. I'm starting to learn the language, you know, of life. It's only taken his 10 years. Like I said, I'm a slow learner, but I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the ride. I don't get it right every day. I think it's probably safe to say I get it wrong most days. But today I've got a job. I've got a wife. My wife has been with me for over 10 years. I've got a daughter. I've got plans. I've got the ability to make decisions. I'm working on my communication, not just in meetings, but communication at work, but especially communication with my wife, because I still expect my wife to know what I'm thinking. And that sounds like saying it out loud, that's insane. Do you know? But I actually do expect her to know what I'm thinking. How can anyone know what you're thinking? Do you know what I mean? So I'm trying to communicate in a more effective way. I'm trying to use the resources that are available to me. I'm very aware that it's up to me and it's my decision. And, you know, the old higher power chat and all that. It's, it's totally individual. But it's about making a decision. And it's like, for me anyway, it's like, are you going to go through with this? You know, do you want to do this? Or do you not want to do this? And it's got nothing to do with anything airy-fairy. It's got everything to do with feet on the ground, practical living. And it's like, do you want to be happy and live a good life? Or are you quite happy in your misery? Because this is the step where you need to make a decision. And I made that decision. Be totally honest, it's hard sometimes. Sometimes I decide to sit in the misery. Do you know? Because there's still that sickness in my head that kind of enjoys it in a fucked up way. Again, there's psychologists, I'm sure, can analyze that and figure it out, but I don't know why. I know all I need to do is pick up the phone or jump in the fucking sea or take a cold shower or, you know, phone my sponsor, do something, go to a meeting. But every part of my being's like, nah, man, just sit like this. Cause this is where you belong, sort of thing, you know? And I don't understand that, but it's becoming less so. Yeah, today I'm making music. I noticed on the WhatsApp thing, Mark had posted my YouTube channel. thanks, Mark, for the promo. but yeah, I love making music. I love painting. I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I like exercising. Try new things. I'm going to join a new jiu-jitsu club. I'm making an album with two guys in America, which I'm a bit gutted about, actually, because my cousin told me, Ian, you need to make a band to promote the album. And I'm like, I'm 41 years old and I can't be fucked going out and playing in fucking pubs to seven people. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if there's any other musicians out there, but, you know, it's like, Just up until COVID, I was out doing gigs and, you know, you drop off your gear and then you wait 5 hours and then you play 30 minutes, then you come home and then you can't go to sleep because the adrenaline's going, and then you've got to go to work and there's like seven people came down to see you. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Do you know what I mean? I just want people to hear my music and get loads of money for it, so I don't have to work. Do you know what I mean? I won't share it with any of yous. I'll open a rehab center, you know, for free or something like that. I'll do something kind, you know. but yeah, and no, I'm gonna keep trying new things. And I don't know what's around the corner. But I'm not scared of it. Do you know what I mean? Probably will be initially, but, you know, I think fear is a natural human emotion to have, but, you know, it doesn't have a grip of me like it did in the past, or less so. You know, do I still seek people's approval? Yeah, probably a wee bit, but less so. Do I want validation? Yeah, of course I do. Do you know, like, I want to put an album out and I want people to like it and I want people to buy it. You know, I made a song at Christmas. If you check the YouTube channel, it's called Chocolate Orange. And I said to my wife, I'm going to make a Christmas song. I'm going to make a song that people fucking hate. Right. And then that was the mission statement of the song. And Helen was like, okay. So I made this song and then I like got somebody to mix it and blah, blah, blah. And then I played it to her. And I was like, so what do you think? And she goes, I hate it. And I was like, what do you mean you hate it? And she was like, but that's what you wanted. And I was like, no, but like, do you know, do you not appreciate the genius behind it? And she was like, no, I just hate it. It is horrible. Like, it really is. It's truly horrible. And if there's any royalists there, then don't watch it, because it's got a slightly anti-royalist hue, shall we say. But I like it. I like it. And I think I like it because people hate it. Again, you know, fucking psychologists can analyze that all they want to. Do you know what I mean? I'm still fucked up, do you know? Like, that's not going to change. I mean, like, fucked up in a good way, do you know? I think. I can see your face is going, how fucked up is this guy? Do you know? I'm okay. I'm doing okay. I'm just grateful for Mark asking me to share. And I think I've spoken for a good amount of time. I want to quote a guy Dave knows, Pete from Yorkshire, who always used to share. Let me see if I can do the Yorkshire accent, Dave. And he was, any more than 5 minutes and it's your ego talking. Like that. So I've gone on for about 30 minutes. So you've had a wee bit of my ego too. I'll leave you to it. And thank you very much for inviting me.